Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Throughout church history, many items have been used by God to help His people to become closer to Him and experience Him. The gifts of the Spirit, miraculous power, great teachings from the Bible with deep and profound doctrines are just few of the things that God has used throughout the ages. But while on one hand God has used these things, it must also be confessed that these things can and have been used by God's enemy to distract God's people from the very Christ that they are intended to bring us to. Substitutes for Christ are most often good things, even spiritual things, but they are things and not the very person of Christ Himself. Of this, we must be very clear and constantly on guard not to fall into such a temptation. Dick Taylor has joined us for our fellowship today. Dick, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Chris. And just as you were speaking, I was just thinking of Revelation 2:4, which the Lord wrote again to the church in Ephesus,
that's right,
reminding them that nothing and no one should ever replace Christ. In that verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, "I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. May nothing and no one ever separate us from Christ Himself."
You know, Dick, we treasure everything that God has given us, whether it's a past experience or maybe a healing or a gift or a wonderful teaching that we got a lot of help from. And it's not that we don't mean to depreciate or diminish these things. They're all important and they're all useful on the one hand. But on the other hand, we may hang on to or treasure one of those past spiritual gifts or experiences and, in fact, lose what Christ is doing at this moment, at the very present. And that is the real tragedy of what we're talking about today, isn't it?
That's right. And we must be guarded from this tragedy. We must be guarded from this tragedy occurring again. May the Lord save us.
Dick, the first portion today, we want to use Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to set the stage. "And He subjected all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all." Let's join Witness Lee.
The church is the expression of Christ, not the expression of anything else. It is not a small thing that we do realize the church expresses nothing else but Christ. The church is the expression of Christ, filled with all the biblical doctrines. The church is the manifestation of different gifts filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Why you say no? I do believe, subconsciously, this is within you. You always consider that the church is the manifestation of the gifts, filled with the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit. Well, today, among so many dear saints who got some experiences of the Pentecostal thing, or what is called the charismatic thing, they always think that whenever the Christians coming together, they have to exercise their gifts, to have the manifestation of the gift. But you know, here is a book on the church. And in this book, you do not have even the tongue speaking mentioned. You have the word gift used. But the gift in this book doesn't mean any kind of speaking, any kind of prophesying, any kind of preaching, any kind of ministering, but the gift in this book means the persons. The persons. The apostle is a gift. The prophet is a gift. And the evangelist is a gift. And the shepherd and teacher is a gift. And even every member is a gift to the body. Amen. The gift in Ephesians is not what you do, but what you are. This is the real gift. This is a gift constituted with Christ Himself as life, that our being might be a gift to the body.
Dick, the church is something that is mentioned in many places in the New Testament, of course in Paul's writings, a number of references to it, but here we have a book, the book of Ephesians. The whole book is devoted to the topic of the church, probably the only one, I think, in the Bible, in the New Testament, that is so focused on this thing, the matter of the church. And yet in this book, there's no mention of these gifts of the Spirit, so-called, the miraculous things, power and teaching and doctrine. What is spoken of in this book on the church is just Christ as being what is expressed. And the gifts here in Ephesians, in the context of the church, are not these other kinds of gifts, but they're a very unique gift, aren't they?
They really are, Chris. And I appreciate, like you mentioned, the church is just the expression of Christ, of nothing else. And the mention of gifts, like in Ephesians 4, referring to persons, are persons who have been filled with Christ, saturated with Christ, soaked with Christ, and constituted with Christ as life. Therefore, the expression is not those persons, but those persons who are soaked with Christ, bringing us back to the fact that the expression of the church is just Christ. It's very good to help us to realize that the church is absolutely and only the expression of Christ. I'm always brought back, Chris, to Matthew 17 and other passages where the Father came on the scene and made it very clear that my only interest, my only desire, my only delight is my Son. Therefore, the church, which is just the enlargement of Christ, must only express His Son. Otherwise, it is not the church. So even the gifts here are uniquely for the expression of Christ. Because the focus is so strong in Ephesians, even the persons here are gifts just because of their constitution with Christ, showing us again the church is just the expression of Christ.
Dick, he made a statement here near the end of his speaking. The gift in Ephesians is not what you do, but what you are.
Yes.
And I think that's what you were just
that's right.
referring to.
I love that statement.
Yeah, me too. I was very struck by it. I was convicted by it. It's the Christ wrought into us, and that Christ being expressed that really constitutes the gift.
That's true. And many times the focus, Chris, can become what people do and not what people are. May we all be those who are desperate every day to be filled with and constituted with Christ as our life.
Dick, this should be a liberating word to a lot of dear saints, especially us one-talented ones who many times sit back and watch the multi-talented ones, or the ones we would say are so gifted and useful, and consider, what can I do? I mean, look at that one. He has so much, or she has so much. I really can't measure up. But that is not the kind of thought that should be in all of the members when it comes to expressing Christ. It takes every member, doesn't it? Each one, each part to function.
It surely does. You can see, like in Ephesians 4, you have the bigger gifts, but then you also have in verse 16 the each one part. Every member expresses Christ, and every member is needed for the expression of Christ. So no matter who we are, no matter what the size of our gift is, we all need to be those who are constituted with Christ, filled with Christ, enjoying Christ, so that we could be the corporate expression of Christ. May we all be encouraged by this, Chris, that No matter who we are, we can be those filled with Christ. Lord, we love you. Fill me up.
And we can be filled, Dick, by speaking as Paul did, these unsearchable riches. Chapter 3, verse 8, to me, less than the least of all saints, that shows what kind of view he had of himself.
Right, that's right.
Was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel?
Amen.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Then in chapter 3, Paul says he preached not the doctrine, not the Bible, but the unsearchable riches of Christ. Doctrine is one thing. The riches are another thing. Then, what are the riches of Christ? And what is the difference between the fullness of Christ and the riches of Christ? Then, what is the fullness of Christ? And what is the fullness of God? And what is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Christ was not only God's riches, but he was the fullness of the riches of God. Now, Christ is the fullness of God. And we, as the church, are the fullness of Christ. Christ is rich. Rich to such an extent, he could not only fill himself up, his riches also could fill all of us up. And this filling up is not only the riches, but also the fullness. The church is the fullness of Christ. If the church is only the riches of Christ, that means Christ is limited. But the church today is not only the riches, but all the fullness of Christ. And this means what? This means what the church enjoys of Christ is unlimited. The limited riches don't have the fullness. What is the church? The church is the fullness of Christ. To express the rich Christ, the church is the unlimited expression of the unlimited Christ.
Dick, we began that section by reading that verse in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 8, talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then he goes on and picks up this matter of fullness, and we find that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What's the difference between the riches and the fullness here?
Well, the more you get filled with the riches, the more you become the fullness. I know, as Brother Lee has illustrated, sometimes somebody can become, in a sense, the picture of the fullness of America because they have been eating all the riches of America. And eventually they become such a big person having much fullness because of eating and enjoying all the riches. Likewise, if we would be those who participate in and enjoy all the unsearchable riches of Christ, then we become the fullness of that one.
Yes.
Who fills all in all, according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. I appreciate so much, Chris, that Christ is unsearchably rich. He is so full of the riches himself that he is the fullness of God. And not only is he full, but he also fills us up to make us the fullness of himself. And as our brother mentioned toward the end, I appreciate the statement very much, that the church is the unlimited expression of the unlimited Christ.
Mm.
So what we need to do is day by day be people who enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ to become the fullness of him. In Colossians, as you mentioned, it mentions that Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. He is the real God. He's the complete God. With him you find the Father, the Son, the Spirit. The Father is embodied in him, and the Spirit is the realization of Christ. Now also, Christ is a genuine man, a perfect man. So he's the complete God, he's the perfect man, and then you have Colossians 2:16 and 17, which shows us that he's the reality of every positive thing. He is unsearchably rich. He's God, he's man, He's the reality of the Sabbath. He's the reality of eating. He's the reality of drinking. As I was on the way here, Chris, on the freeway, I enjoyed that he was the reality of my way. And also there were times when the car slowed down, and I have to testify with boldness, Chris, and to all of you who are listening, that Christ is the reality of patience. Without him, you just can't do it. Everything you have is limited. But his patience is unlimited. And the church is the unlimited expression of the unlimited Christ. So we want to be those who every day do our best to open our spirit, open our heart, open our mouth to enjoy this unsearchably rich Christ who is even the reality of every positive thing so that we become filled unto all the fullness of this dear one. That's the church.
Dick, it's really something. In Colossians 2:9, as we read, Christ is the fullness of the Godhead. When fullness is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Amen.
So the church takes on this same aspect, doesn't it? As Christ is the fullness of God, the church becomes the fullness of Christ.
That's right. So that's why our focus must be Christ himself. The expression of the church must be Christ. God's desire is that we would be enjoying him, partaking of him with all of his unsearchable riches, so that we might express him as his fullness. If we partake of this or partake of that or exhibit this or exhibit that, anything apart from Christ, that's not the church.
Wow.
That's not the church. So may the Lord really carry out his recovery on this earth today in all of us who are listening by making us the constant enjoyers of the unsearchable riches of Christ to become the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Wow. Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
Whatever is less than Christ, that is not the church. People today talk about gift. Let me tell you, gift is not Christ. People today talk about the power. Power is not Christ. Doctrines are not Christ. Bible knowledge is not Christ. Even the Bible itself is not Christ. Christ is the embodiment of God, a living and wonderful person. So we all have to realize what we should have is not the gift. Gifts are means for us to take Christ. Power is a help for people to realize Christ. The Bible, with all the teachings, are means, are instruments God used to impart Christ to people. But sorry to say, today, people would take gift for Christ. They would take power for Christ. They would take the scripture for Christ. They would take the doctrine for Christ. They would take so many substitutes of Christ. Gifts, power, teachings, doctrines, Bible, these are means, instrument used by God to help us to gain Christ. But the Lord is going to recover himself. We all have to come back to himself. How we have to thank God for all his good gifts. We thank God for his power. We thank God for his holy word. We thank God for so many good teachings. But we thank God even more for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, God's intention is to bring us back from so many substitutes, from all these subtle distractions, back to Christ. When Christians come together, whenever a church with all the saints coming together, we have to pay our full attention to the living Christ. We only care for the expression of the living Christ. We are on the battle today. We are not fighting against anything bad. We are fighting against something 50% good. We are fighting against the subtlety of the good attractions. Because all these subtle attractions keep people from Christ himself.
You know, Dick, I think most Christians are aware of the battle in the spiritual realm, but we usually think of this battle in terms of a battle against evil.
Right.
Expressions of evil. Mm-hmm. We just had one that happened to this country a few months ago, and still we're in the vibrations of this, and it was dreadfully evil, and certainly it was God's enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But the real battle that is confronting us most of the time is the battle to distract us away from this living Christ with so many even good things, isn't it?
That's true. So all the good things, including persons and power and teachings and even the Bible itself, are wonderful as instruments, but may they never, ever replace and be a substitute for Christ himself. So we need to have a divine determination as we listen to this program and this message today that we would do nothing but let's gain Christ. That's our desire, just like Paul said in Philippians. And I have to testify, Chris, after listening to this message, I am so happy to be in the Lord's recovery. And in a simple way, what's the Lord's recovery? It's a recovery back to Christ himself as everything. Then the church, as we pay attention to this living Christ, loving him, giving him our first love, like in Revelation 2:4, then we become the expression of this living Christ as his fullness for his testimony on this earth. So I'm just so glad, again, that we are brought back from everything that even distracts us, even the good things, to the very person of Christ himself. What a joy to have nothing, care for nothing, see nothing, but this marvelous Christ. So in conclusion, we could say for sure, Chris, according to Ephesians, the church is not Christ plus anything. The church is just the unlimited expression of the unlimited, wonderful Christ. I think that there's been a time in the past or two where we maybe sang a chorus together, and I'd like us to sing it again. It's All in All Forever. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything.
Dick, I think I was off key, but I hope the Lord recognized it as a joyful noise. That's how it was intended.
I have to tell you, even if our singing is off key, you just mentioned Christ to the Father. It is music.
It is music, and it's never out of key to him, is it?
That's right.
Dick, what a key we saw today, that the real recovery is to be recovered back to Christ.
Amen.
And not to let anything distract us from him.
Amen.
Day by day. We all have something we take with us from this program, I think, today in a very fresh way.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks always, Dick. Good to have you here, and we're coming near the end of the life study of Ephesians. Next week will be our final week in this book, and we hope you'll be able to join us for at least one more program.
Thank you. I'd be happy to be here, Chris.
Very good. Well, time is up. We would like to encourage you to contact us. We've mentioned it time and time again if you've been following along these many weeks now that we've been in Ephesians. But the three-volume set of the Life Study of Ephesians is a classic in this ministry, and we believe a classic in the history of biblical exposition, a book, a resource that you should hold, but never let it replace Christ. I would say that.
Amen.
We think it'll help bring you to Christ and certainly not replace Christ.
That's true.
If you'd like to find out about how you can get this set for yourself or just to contact us with your comments or your questions, we'd love to hear from you. Toll free, 888-543-3788. That's 888-LIFE-STUDY. Or we receive your email. Just simply address it to radio@lsm.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow and the day following as we wrap up this next to the last week on the life study of Ephesians. And then next week, as we have the five concluding messages, we hope you would not miss any of those. And today, for Dick Taylor, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Throughout the centuries, the Lord has recovered many truths concerning His purpose and plan for humanity. The Recovery Version of the New Testament by Living Stream Ministry presents these crucial truths in a format that is easy to understand and study. This faithful translation of the original Greek text includes outlines of each book of the New Testament, over 9,000 footnotes, more than 13,000 cross-references, charts of important truths, and color maps. The New Testament Recovery Version from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.